An all-new analog horror series begins here. Galaxy of Film and Mayhem Pictures presents The Artist, 1996. Now available on the Galaxy of Film YouTube channel.
You're listening to Galaxy of Film. Welcome back to the brand ups of Galaxy of Film. I'm, of course, your host, Max, and this week I'm joined with none other than our man Tyler, stepping up as co-host. How are you doing?
Cheers. Hey, I'm chilling, dude. What's up? I'm here.
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. It's been a couple weeks since you've been on. Last time you came on the co-host, we were talking some Pixar with Finding Nemo and Inside Out, actually, as well. So here we are talking some more animation. But not Pixar this time. But what's doing in your life, Tyler? What's going on with you?
What am I doing in my life? Yo, I was just at your house. How long ago?
Like 4 hours ago, I'd say.
4 hours ago? Yeah. Let's see, man. I went home and I don't know, something. I haven't sat down since. I've mainly been cleaning this whole time.
I feel you on that.
I just ate tacos, man.
I feel you on that. I feel you on that, bro.
Yeah, what turkey
busy,
meat?
Pretty busy myself. Obviously, I've been gone for the last 2 weeks of the podcast. I've been to Germany, actually. Just came back from that trip. We had Jake kind of step into the role as host for our Dune episode. And then last week for The Social Network and Dumb Money, we had Brayden step up the role as host as well. So, kind of weird, man. I haven't done that before. I've just taken a week off like that. Like, the time I've needed off from the podcast has been, like, two emergencies, and I was like, Danilo hosted those, and, you know, that was still when he was a co-host. So it wasn't, like, a drastic change all of a sudden like this. But, yeah, proud of those guys for stepping up for the 2 weeks, and appreciate it, because it gave me a little bit of a rest that I needed. And here we are, coming back strong with Penguin Week here on the podcast, dude. Like I said, discussing Happy Feet and Surf's Up. You've heard of Shark Week. You've heard of Dino Week. This is Penguin Week here on the podcast, and yeah, this is a little fun thing I just decided to do, because why the hell not? You know what I'm saying?
I like penguins.
I like penguins, too. That's good enough for me, man.
Cheers. That's all we gotta go. We're gonna go.
There we go. Quick couple announcements for Galaxy of Film, though, real quick. Obviously, our newest short film, The Artist 1996, is currently out now on the website, galaxyoffilm.com, and on our YouTube channel, Galaxy of Film Productions. But also, guys, on both of those same platforms, you can check out the trailer for my newest short film, Goonies in Agony, featuring music done by you. Jesus Christ, I can't even talk this week. I was about to call you Chyler for a second. Featuring music done by you, Tyler. So, yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah.
Another little reunion this week. Also, last week on the podcast, with Social Network and Dumb Money, Brandon had a little Goonies in Agony reunion, funny enough, man. We had Ethan Toko, who's one of our editors, as well as Naima Saeed, who is one of the producers of the film. So check out that episode. Good stuff. But yeah, check out the trailer as well. Link down below for it. Goonies in Agony. This drops June 1st. You know, our biggest project so far, and I'm so excited to go ahead and show it to the world. But also, Jake finished up and wrapped up this past season of Awards Bait. Full season is available now on both YouTube and our Spotify and Apple Podcast platforms. So check that out, guys. All good stuff. I know you can't wait for season two later this year, so stay tuned for more. But Tyler, it's time we go ahead and dive into the news real quick, man.
Yeah. First, what's going on, man?
We got three things here this week. Nothing too crazy. A couple announcements. And one piece of news that I think is just kind of a bit of a spit in the face, considering what we just went through strike-wise the past, you know, several months here in the entertainment industry. And that piece of news would be that the showrunner for X-Men 97 has been fired a week before the show drops. Now, of course, X-Men 97 is the cartoon animated series of X-Men that is that was done in the 90s, and this is a continuation of it on Disney Plus coming out next week. Same voice cast, same some of the writers, from my understanding, just a continuation. But the showrunner's been fired a week beforehand. What are your thoughts on this, bro?
Man, what was the reason he was fired?
I don't think anything was listed for his reason, to be honest with you, at least publicly yet.
Oh, man. Yeah, that could be anything. It's crazy to hear stuff like this, and they never give the full details. Like, come on, bro. Give us the if, what, then, and what. But that kind of stuff unfolds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's probably more that'll come out later. I hope it's nothing bad.
Yeah, hopefully it's nothing like Jonathan Majors, dude. Yeah. That'd be awful. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not too hung up on this one. I didn't grow up watching the X-Men cartoon.
Me either. So,
yeah, it's nothing... You know, I'm not too excited for this Disney Plus series, to be honest with you. I may check it out just because I'm hearing good things about the original, and there's been some, you know, wide excitement for this new one, but it's nothing I'm personally pumped for. But yeah, it always sucks seeing someone get fired from a project, having to leave a project. I hope, like you said, it's nothing bad, but at the same time, it's a dude getting fired, so it's got to be bad somehow, in some way, shape, or form.
Still something.
Yeah. But on more positive news, but also with Disney. Now, Tyler, I know you're not a Star Wars guy, so I doubt you watched this trailer today. But as of the day we're recording this episode, the first trailer for the new Star Wars show, The Acolyte, dropped. Did you get a chance to watch this?
Oh, I did not. I need to live vicariously through you, though, so tell me everything.
So, The Acolyte is something we've been talking about since the start of this podcast, because it was announced 4 years ago and nothing's happened with it. This takes place, I believe, 100 years before our prequel trilogy, and is all about the Sith kind of uprising in the background. Who knows what we'll see with this. But we dig at the trailer, and yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just sick of the volume, to be honest with you. I'm sick of it. I could tell a lot of this is shot in the volume. The ending bit in the trailer looked fucking sick, though. It kind of sold me towards the very end. The poster's pretty dope looking. I think the antagonist character looks pretty cool. I don't know. I'm not, like, at the edge of my seat for this one, but I'm excited for it. Definitely the setting and the atmosphere is what's selling me on this compared to everything else so far. But that's just because we don't know what else this is yet.
Yeah.
So going in with a positive mind, but a bit, you know, cautious just because of the Star Wars, of course. But the next piece of news is something that's pretty groundbreaking. So, Tyler, we covered this on the podcast last year, but the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey film. You know, lately it's been a trend since things are entering the public domain that, you know, now we're getting movies made of these characters, like Steamboat Willie, the Mickey Mouse, original.
Oh, because the copyright had ended?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're seeing these properties get horror movies and parody films and all that kind of jazz, because they can now. And Winnie the Pooh is kind of the one to start this. And obviously we're getting Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2, next week actually comes out. However, we're now officially getting the Poohniverse, and it is a cinematic universe based off of these. We'll be getting, it features Blood and Honey 2. We're getting a Bambi horror film. I believe we're getting a Pinocchio horror film as well. And we're getting Poohniverse Assembled, which would be a Marvel parody featuring these characters. What are your thoughts on this? Have you seen Blood and Honey at all?
No, but I am stuck on... What are my thoughts? My thought is the word Poohniverse, because what the hell? That is the greatest thing I've ever heard. You just named like a strip club or something, Max.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way when talking about it, to be honest.
Winnie the Pooh Hooniverse, and it's all like based off the Blood and Honey.
Yeah, it's all horror. It's all, yeah.
Is this going to be a start of taking our childhood or even our parents' and grandparents' childhood lovable cartoons and then just bastardizing them?
I mean, I think they've been bastardized for quite a bit already, but probably, yeah.
In the public domain?
Not in the public domain, just yet. That. But yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, stuff we pay money for that's not Rule 34, you know what I mean? The Pooniverse, if it's gonna stay rated R, I better see some creativity, son, you know?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of the funny things, though, one of the actresses and the cinematographer from the second movie just followed me on Instagram.
Cheers.
I don't know what's going on with that. We'll have to see. Maybe we
come
can
talk
do
with
a,
us later.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a special episode for Blood Honey 2. That'd be kind of cool. But yeah, man, the Pooniverse. I'm here for it. You know, I do think these public domain films, we're going to call them, I think they're definitely a bad trend. But I'll give it to them. Blood and Honey at least is the one to pioneer it. So for them to take it too far, I'm like, you know, at least it's you guys. You know, if anyone got the pass to, it'd be them. So I'm okay with it. We'll see how it turns out, of course. Hopefully we get some good stuff out of it. I kind of enjoyed the last Blood and Honey. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was weird having Harold watch that for the podcast.
Licking my own tip, huh?
Oh, geez, man. Oh, geez. But yeah, that's going to go ahead and wrap it up for news this week. Up next is shows, something we haven't talked about for quite some time. While I was away in Germany, I did have a chance to kind of discuss this, or to go over this, excuse me. And this is something we had discussed on an LFG I did a few weeks ago discussing Star Wars Visions Volume 2. I mentioned I still hadn't watched any Bad Batch, and I was so behind. Well, I caught up, finally, guys. I have finished all of Season 2 of Bad Batch. I'm making my way through Season 3 to get fully caught up right now. I enjoyed Season 2. Definitely not as groundbreaking as I was expecting the show to be, that how everyone's hyped it up. But I'm still enjoying it, and I'm definitely finding it easy to get through as I go further and further. So I will be catching up for sure, so I can watch the final bits for the third season kind of come live. And whenever, you know, the show does end this May, we'll be having an LFG for you guys discussing that as well. So stay tuned. But yeah, Bad Batch Season 2, pretty solid. Definitely enjoyed the Commander Cody stuff. Wish there was more of them, but I'm hoping we get some more of that this season. Tyler, have you been watching any TV shows lately?
South Park.
Okay, like some of the new stuff?
No, right now the Roku Live just cycles a lot of the older episodes on Comedy Central, and it'll bounce back and forth from mid to the very beginning. I think I watched the very first episode of South Park the other night.
Nice, dude. South Park, I feel like ages better than some of the other adult animations.
Yeah, they just don't give a fuck, dude. I love it. It's always in the background at night here.
Yeah, we gotta do the South Park movie one day on the podcast. That'd be fun.
Oh yeah, that'd be an interesting one. That's a future for the future. I'd be there. You guys heard it here first.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. But yeah, I think it's gonna go ahead and wrap it up for shows this week, guys. We're gonna go ahead and take a quick little break over our stream of the week brought to you by Will this week. And when we come back, we're talking Surf's Up. So we'll be right back, guys.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hey, it's Will here from Galaxy Films Mayhem Pictures Division. For this stream of the week, I'm gonna cheat a little bit. The film I picked here is actually a trilogy. The Human Condition, directed by Masaki Kobayashi, is a three-part adaptation of a novel by the same name. It's widely regarded as one of the greatest films ever made. The story is set during World War II and is about a man named Kaji, played by Tatsuya Nakadai, who in order to avoid forced enlistment in the Japanese military, takes a supervisor position, working in Manchuria for a POW labor camp. Kaji is entirely against Japan's imperialism and inhumane treatment of the people it subjugated. Kaji's progressive moral code is constantly tested and overshadowed by the immensity of the barbaric system he has no choice but to be a part of. Released in 1959 in Japan, it was met with much controversy for its accurate depictions and criticism of the country's war crimes, as many nationalists were still in denial. The director, Kobayashi, was also a World War II veteran and used his own experiences to adapt the material. This makes for a gritty, realistic, and harrowing epic, one that asks the question, how long can you maintain your humanity during war? Not only is the trilogy thematically saturated, but on a technical level, it's superb. The cinematography is immaculate and often fully captures the most dour settings humans can exist in. Battlefields and prisons feel appropriately oppressive, but most memorable of all, the way the camera captures Nakadai's brilliant performance as the tortured Kaji, who has now landed himself as one of my all-time favorite actors in cinema history. All three parts are currently streaming on the Criterion Channel, and I highly recommend investing the time to watch these if you're at all interested in World War II or Japanese history from the critical perspective of the people who freshly survived this horrible period.
The Galaxy of Film rating system is based off planets featured in the Star Wars films. From our highest rating to lowest, here is the order in which we rate these films. Number 5.
Coruscant, the entire planet is one big city.
Number 4.
Hey. Bespin is pretty far, but I think we can make it.
Mining colony?
Yeah, Tabana gas mine.
Number 3.
Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Number 2.
Set your course for the Hoth system.
And lastly, number 1.
Gotta get back to Jakku.
Back to Jakku! Why does everyone want to go back to Jakku?
Alright guys, and we're back from our break. First up this week is none other than Surf's Up. This film came out in 2007. Now Tyler, I need to know, man, did you get a chance to watch this in theaters as a kid? When was your first time watching this?
Not as theaters. I think it had come to the television, but it was just recently when I like actually watched it all the way through and paid attention.
Really? Okay, dude. Man, I saw this in theaters actually. I was in first grade, and I feel off. I don't remember the guy's last name. And to be honest with you, I don't even know if this is his first name, but it was one of my earliest friends I had as a kid. And he was a little bit older. I was in first grade, and I think he was in like fourth or fifth grade. But his name was Tyrese. He lived down the road from me. And Tyrese had like, you've grown up in the same town I have, Tyler. You know how like bonus rooms upstairs above the garage are like a luxury thing or whatever here?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's the spot if your friend has when you're up there playing GameCube and PlayStation games all day long.
The you know, bonus room, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's, you got a whole bucket, like, case of Capri Sun upstairs. It's the fucking thing. It's the bonus room. You know, it's a whole cultural thing here, at least in, like, the South, I guess. Because we don't have basements over here compared to, like, the Midwest, you know. That's where the kids would hang out. And Tyrese had a bonus room, and I remember, like, at a young age, like, that summer going from first grade to second grade, there's a lot of stuff I watched for the first time there. Like, Pirates of the Caribbean I got into when I was over at this kid's house. We watched the third one together. I remember playing the original Spider-Man PS1 game with him. I got into the Spider-Man cartoon over there with him. I've talked about him on the podcast before about how, like, I'd catch Return of the Jedi on TV. And it would always be at this guy's house. Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, before I saw Pirates 3, I had to look at the release dates, I saw this movie with that same guy. And I remember going to, like, McDonald's with them right before the movie, because, like, they had the Surf's Up Happy Meal toys. And I had, like, a Cody Maverick toy. Like, he was in this wave, and he, like, moved on wheels. It was really weird. But point being, dude, this movie has such, like, a cultural significance in my life. Like, I adore Surf's Up. This was like the first like friend movie I had where I saw this with someone. I had the soundtrack on CD still. I had the Cody Maverick Build-A-Bear plush. Like, I rode the Surf's Up wave, dude. This thing was crazy for me. So you didn't watch this, you said, fully until you were an adult?
Yeah, that is correct. I always knew it as a kid whenever it came on in the background because John Heater is the chicken. And that was always the extent of it. It wasn't until a few months ago I paid attention to the plot and noticed that tons of things my child self didn't.
Oh my god, I did not realize Napoleon Dynamite is Chicken Joe. That is crazy. Oh,
yeah, you know who's the Big Z, right?
Yeah, it's Jeff Bridges, the dude. Wow, man.
Yeah, man, the fact you got those two.
That's a crazy connection. Yeah, this, the cast of this thing is crazy. You got Zooey Deschanel as Lonnie in there. Obviously, Shia LaBeouf as Cody Maverick. and this was during, what, the year of Shia LaBeouf. This was the year Transformers came out. Indiana Jones 4 came out. Dude was on top of the world at this time. You know, this little movie is kind of crazy. But for a little bit of a recap for this, basically this is a mockumentary film. Cody Maverick is living in Shiverpool, and all of his life he just wants to be a surfer, but he's kind of like the runt of the family. He gets his chance at this big surfing competition. That's the Big Z tribute. Big Z is basically the Rocky Balboa of surfing, the Tony Hawk of surfing, if you will. And there's also a rival. What's this fucking bucket, dude? Tank the Shredder. Tank is the rival of this, and Tank is kind of like the Clubber Lang of this series. And during I've ended up a surfing competition. Big Z ended up dying from a wave, and then the competition with Tank, and Tank ended up winning because Tank's like this big asshole. Anyways, Cody gets a shot playing in this or from performing in this competition. And while he's on this island, he realizes and befriends a local hermit named Zeke and becomes his friend and realizes, boom, this is Big Z still alive. And he kind of teaches Cody how to surf. And also, you know, Cody also has his love interest, who's the niece of Big Z. And then also there is Cody's best friend, Chicken Joe, who's one of the greatest characters in all of cinema history. And yeah, dude, that surfs up. You know, we get to the final match, and Cody ends up winning by being the not winner, the kind of thing. And Big Z kind of reveals himself that, hey, he is alive. And, you know, they're both kind of like the town heroes, more or less, at the end of this. And, yeah, Surf's Up is something that, as a kid, I didn't understand why it didn't get a sequel until I was older and it got a sequel and no one came back for it. I still haven't seen the sequel. Maybe we'll do that one of these days. But this first one, dude, will always hold a special place in my heart. What are your initial thoughts of Surf's Up, Tyler, since you watched this much more recently than I did?
Oh, man. Yeah, it had taken me a while to get used to that mockumentary style. Because, you know, some of the stuff that came out around that time and even to today, that mockumentary style is, like, hilarious. You know, Trailer Park Boys and interviewing all the cameras and even in the way The Office.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny how they incorporated it into this movie. And it took a while for my kid brain to understand because it kept on jumping to, like, other people's perspectives. And it didn't flow for me at first. What's up, Donut? But then I love it's the classic cliche small town big dream boy leaves his hometown to do some great stuff, and we're all a sucker for those types of movies, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree on that.
The underdog.
Yeah, dude. And this movie has some great characters too, kind of comparing it back to Rocky again. One of the things I loved that, like, the Rocky video game would do on PlayStation 2 was kind of highlight and showcase some of the other characters we see Rocky fight that are kind of more or less just nameless or just throwaway characters. Surf's Up has some cool ones throughout this whole thing. And I remember, like, the Surf's Up video game also does something similar, which I loved. I love the details of this, too. I love that Chicken Joe's, like, surfboard is a corn on the cob, which is pretty awesome. I just love this thing, dude. I love the niece, Lonnie. I love when she goes out to save one of the little drowning penguins. She grabs a squid thing as a float. Like, this is such a fun world. Like, I don't understand why this didn't take off the way I feel like it should have. This really could have been the next best thing, dude. This was a year after Cars, keep in mind, too. Something like...
I see the similarity because the Big Z is basically Doc Hudson, Cars beat, yeah. Surf's Up to that storyline. But yeah, it's funny to see those parallels in movies that came out a year within each other.
Yeah, and on top of that too, man, like, you have great, great cast between the two. That's something Pixar has always had. And, like, DreamWorks, you know, has had solid cast. Mike Myers as Shrek, don't get me wrong, but, like, Shia LaBeouf at the height of his career. You had Jeff Bridges, like you said. Napoleon Dynamite, this is a couple years after Napoleon Dynamite too, so I imagine he was a bit harder to get back right then. You know, Zooey Deschanel right before New Girl had happened. Like, this movie's a product of its time. I love this thing.
Yes.
You know, this thing is absolutely incredible. Like, back to, I mentioned I had the CD as a kid. Gorgeous soundtrack, dude. This movie got me into Incubus. Drive? It's so good. So good, man.
I remember that connection, too, because my parents were listening to Incubus before that movie. I remember they had a disc with it, and that was before 2007, so that was a really cool call home.
Really? Okay, that's funny. That's what's up.
That's what, I never thought about a kid's movie shooting Incubus up there like that. They're giving them a little popularity bump. That's funny.
Yeah, man, it was awesome. That's the only way I know them is from Surf's Up. Stand Tall is a great song as well, featured towards like the end of this thing. I don't know, man. I love it. I really wish we could have 4K of Surf's Up. I don't think we'll ever get something nice in this little universe, this series again, just because the sequel is one of those weird, like, straight-to-DVD wrestling movies. Or, like, I think John Cena's in it as a voice actor. Let's see. Surf's Up 2. It's Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania from 2016.
Do we gotta watch that now, too?
Oh, wow. John Heder is the only one who returns. Back is Chicken Joe. Oh, Tank's back, too. Okay.
What
Jeremy
a bro.
Shada. He's Cody Maverick in this. Who the fuck are you, bro?
Oh, so they have a completely different voice actor for the main character.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, during the time of Shia's controversy and all that kind of jazz. It appears that the person who's Cody Maverick in this is, like, just, it's the voice of Finn from Adventure Time. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. That's some legacy right there. I'm still laughing at how I seen Shia LaBeouf in American Honey after this.
Oh, yeah, man, that's a weird thing to watch in that order. Yeah, Melissa Sturm is also Lonnie, so Zooey Deschanel's recast. Only John Herder and Tank. That's interesting. Oh,
Napoleon Dynamite.
Jeez, Vince McMahon's in this, bro. This is not aging well. Anyways, do you have any gripes of Surf's Up, Tyler?
It was, I don't want to say anything I'd also say about Avatar, but it seems like one of those simple, cute, formulaic stories painted on the grandest of canvases. You know, okay. The whole small town boy leaving, and I don't know if the whole finding the guru living in solitude and nobody knows who he is trope plays out in some movies before, but I don't say that detracts from it, but I do find it weird. Like, hey, that's just me trying to compare anything and everything at this point.
No, I understand that. It's a little weird because you mentioned that. That's a trope now at this point. You're like, I'm the fucking Luke Skywalker, you know?
Yeah, how many times has The Lion King been made?
Oh, jeez. Don't even get me started on that. Don't even get me started.
An execution, great, though.
What, for Lion King or for Surf's Up?
Oh, for Surf's Up.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Hot take, Surf's Up's a better movie than The Lion King. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'll say that with some oomph into it, bro. Surf's Up is a better movie than The Lion King. Hot take, bro. Hot take. Surf's Up, in my opinion. You guys can already tell my rating for this is. Surf's Up is one of the greatest animated movies of all time. Like, this is right up there next to Toy Story 2 for me. I love this movie. I adore this thing to death. For me, this is a Death Star. This is a core song, whatever you want to call it. This is a perfect animated movie for me. I wish we got more of this. That's my only complaint, really, dude. Like, I think I watch Surf's Up probably, like, twice a year. Just because it's such a great rewatch. It's an hour and, like, 20 minutes long. It's super short. I love this thing, man. I feel like a kid every time I watch it. And that's something I will always appreciate, a movie being able to still do for me, you know?
And now we gotta see the second.
Oh, yeah. We'll see the second one, alright. Yeah. What do you rate Surf's Up, Tyler?
Coruscant, baby. Let's go.
Okay, that's right. I was about to get real mad. I'm not gonna lie, bro. Okay. Any particular reason why it's a Coruscant for you?
I have no real gripe with it that takes away from what it is as a movie. I love the concept of bringing all those kids out of town to this island for the contests and the troubles that go along the way. Mm. And then seeing a big penguin try to pee on a little penguin's wound in a hut in the woods. Yeah, that happened.
You know, funny enough, dude, so if you guys are listening to the pod, or have listened to the podcast for some time, you know, Chris Sorrentino, he's from Super Live Adventure, he's in Goonies and Agony, for Christ's sake, great dude, love him to death. He does some, like, graphic design work from Practical Jokers, and he's been on the show, and the thing on the show where he's physically on, where you could, like, his episode that he's so proud of, is one where he pees on Sal Volcano on the show, because it's a jellyfish thing. And it reminds me of this movie every fucking time he tells that story. Because every time I see Chris and every time I speak to Chris, I'm typically introducing him to someone. And he'll tell the same story to everybody about him pissing on this grown-ass man. And so I'm just imagining Chris Sorrentino as a big penguin every time that happens. And I don't think he'll get that. But if he's listening to this, Chris, that's what I imagine every time I hear you talk, buddy.
Yeah, man.
I fucking love it.
Get pee. It takes a goat to pee on somebody.
Let's go ahead and dive into our next film for this week, Happy Feet. Now, this came out in 2006. Now, I did not get a chance to watch this in theaters. At least, I don't remember it at that age. However, I did own this on DVD, like, as soon as it came out. Did you also watch this as a kid, Tyler?
Yeah, a long time ago as a kid.
Okay. Was this something you like, grew up with constantly, like, every year for you, or is this just a one-and-done for you?
It was a one and done, but let me tell you the one thing that kept me connected to that movie. It was one song. Can you guess what it was?
I cannot. What is that song?
It was the Stevie Wonder's "I Wish." That
really?
Okay. The best song in the soundtrack. That really kept me rooted in it. It's just a bumping song, dude.
No, I feel on that. Yeah, I mean, I remember. And originally, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, as cool as it is to do Penguin Week, and as fun as this is. You know, I timed this episode because, for whatever reason, man, Happy Feet, to me, has always been an Easter movie. Like, it's been a springtime thing. Like, this has always been playing around this time of year. I remember this being, like, the thing Walmart's had on TVs on display for a long time, too. Like, I just have weird, weird commercial memories of Happy Feet. But yeah, funny enough, rewatching this thing, because I remember it being the Easter movie, like I said, this movie's like anti-religious, and I love it, bro. It's crazy.
Wow, how ironic.
I love the parallels of this, dude. A little bit of a recap. So Happy Feet, in the world of like emperor penguins who find their soulmates and make love and make babies through song, and each penguin has like their unique song. This little dude, voiced by Elijah Wood, Mumble, he's a little bit different. He expresses his love and emotions through his feet instead. He dances instead of just singing. And it's pretty cool because we get to... As an adult, I can recognize this and appreciate this movie even more. Yeah, we see, like, Mumble's dad, who's the one who's fucked up and he's dropped the egg, and that's why this kid is. We see, like, his desires to, like, pray nonstop to try to make sure his kid's safe. Because, like, there's this whole bit where, like, the mother has to go away for the winter or something, and the fathers have to protect the eggs. He's, like, praying nonstop back and forth. And whenever his kid grows up, he's not as accepting because his kid's not being uniform. He's not being the normal kid growing up. And it's about this whole rebuttal about just trying to be yourself and having to break away from your parents in a sense for that too. And I was like, damn, man, like the parallels of this, I love it. This is such a mature movie. I can't say this is a gay movie necessarily because Mumble literally has a girlfriend in this film that does not making it a gay movie technically. But like the parallels of seeing Mumble struggle through that when I'm like a 6-year-old and I'm not able to recognize that, and then go back to this movie as an adult, makes me respect the hell out of it, dude. It's so subtle. It's gorgeous. This is a really, really smart movie, looking back on it. And continuing on with a bit of a recap for it, too. So, later on, once Mumble tries to go, like, find and be himself, and also gets kind of caught into this whole message about, like, you know, saving the environment, saving the globe, global warming, all that kind of jazz. Wally does that better 2 years later from this movie. So that's something I don't want to focus on too much. But it's still cool. Like, it's a cool representation of it. Like, we do see, like, Lovelace, who is voiced by the late, great Robin Williams. Like, his whole spiritual thing, his piece that connects him to whatever realm or whatever, is the can of rings from the soda cans we see at the grocery store. You know, we see one of the other, like, I believe it's, like, an eagle or, like, just like a bird character who's kind of an antagonist in this. He has these clipped on him. He has a tracker on him. And that's their way of thinking, or that's their pieces of coming back from being abducted by aliens, which is really just humans testing on these animals. So it's very subtle. It's very smart. And this movie knows how to balance like two really like different themes pretty well, you know, saving the environment and being able to be yourself. It just works, man. It just does. What are some fond memories you have with this movie, Tyler?
Finding yourself and acceptance, man, that's a common theme in movies. No, I'm just kidding. And my fondest thing with this, I'm telling you, dude, it is that one song.
Yeah.
By Stevie Wonder.
Let me take a look at the soundtrack one bop again.
Yeah, yeah, it's got a few others. I think Queen had a song in it too.
Prince is on this, though. Pink. Yeah, cool. There's a cover of a Queen song. Somebody Loves on here.
Oh yeah.
Beach Boys, Brittany Murphy, and then Robin Williams, which is of course great too. Wow, yeah, man, this movie's kinda crazy looking back on it. It's kinda crazy. What was up with the 2000s throwing penguins?
Yeah, I feel like a little popularity bump from the Penguins, because you know when the whole Cars franchise first came out along with Talladega Nights, that gave NASCAR a little popularity bump for a year. So I'm wondering what was going on back then with some suits decided, hey, could we sell like some penguin shit?
No, I
yeah,
agree.
I heard penguins are pretty cool, and I say it worked.
Yeah. The only other animated movie at this time, dude, I think I loved as much as this movie was probably Open Season, which is also solid. Remember that?
I the animation in Happy Feet is so much better. I have a gripe with the quality of Open Season. Maybe it was the TV I watched it on. It just seemed very computer grainy, but it's, Happy Feet.
It's funny you mentioned Happy the TV, Feet. Dude. I'm looking at it right now. I had a weird thing. I rented the game, just like I rented the Surf's Up game. I had the Open Season game on PS2, and that game broke our TV. I remember I never ended up purchasing it again. I'm after this episode, I'm buying Surf's Up and Open Season on PS2. We're playing them.
Open Season.
Jeez, man. But yeah, I don't know, man. Happy Feet. I don't really have much gripes of this one either. I always want to compare it to Surf's Up for some reason. I guess just because it is the Penguin movie. You know, I think visually it's not as gorgeous, which is my main flaw with it. At a distance, visually, Happy Feet looks really solid. But close up, like Mumble's mother and father look really fucking weird the whole time. They look really, really smooth. In my opinion, there's three tiers of penguin animation, okay? The top being Surf's Up, the middle being Happy Feet, and the bottom being 3-2-1 Penguins, the Big Ideas TV show. And obviously Happy Feet's in the middle of that, which is just weird that I have this tier at this point. But yeah, it's just, those are the only things I can compare it to. We need more animated penguin stuff, you know?
Did you ever get Happy Feet and Surf's Up mixed up as a kid or at all, even as an adult?
No, dude, I loved Surf's Up so much.
Bro, I had a few dumb moments where I was like, hey, there's a movie with penguins that surf to Stevie Wonder, and I found out I'd actually... Oh, no, those are two different movies, but it's all penguins, bro.
That's crazy. No, I mean, I never got the two mixed up. I adore Surf's Up. I'd be like my uncle watched this movie, actually. I made Chefum watch Surf's Up. Such a damn good movie.
I bet he'd dig it.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Of which one? Happy Feet?
Yeah, yeah. Does he have an score for it?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to ask him next time I see him, but... but yeah, man, I don't know. Happy Feet's animations just aren't crazy for me. If I had to rate Happy Feet, I'd probably have it be like a Naboo on the way to Bespin. It's fun to return back to, you know, but this isn't a Toy Story or a Cars. Like, this isn't something I'm going to watch every year, you know. I'll catch Happy Feet on again probably in 10 more years. So what do you rate this, Tyler?
This Happy Feet is kind of like, what's the analogy? It's kind of like a fried banana for me. I want fried banana probably once a year, and then I'll eat a fried banana, and then I just don't care for it for the rest of the year. I think that's Happy Feet for me. Happy Feet's a fried banana. Quote by Tyler. But I give it what 5 cents below a Bespin.
So a Naboo on the way to Bespin. Okay.
Yeah, but a little closer to Bespin.
Okay. Okay, I feel you, man. Nothing wrong with that.
Surfing's cooler than dancing.
Yeah, you're not wrong, bro. It is, it is cool, though. But yeah, man, I think it's going to go ahead and wrap it up for this week, Tyler. And also wrap it up for Penguin Week this week. We got some more good stuff planned here at Galaxy of Film. Next week, we have a special guest episode talking some Muppets coming your way, guys. It'll be a really fun one to check out, so stay tuned for that. Make sure to check out last week's episode for some entrepreneurship advice by our man Brandon, discussing Dumb Money and The Social Network, also about Goonies and Agony Reunion for that one, like I said. And also check out the Goonies and Agony trailer, link down below. Check out on YouTube and all that jazz. And stay tuned, man. We got a bunch of good stuff coming, a lot of projects in the work, podcast-wise, video-wise, film-wise. It's a busy year for us this year, Tyler. We're busy as hell.
Oh, yeah, man. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
Got lots of good things coming our way.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. But thank you much so what is wrong with me? You hear that? You hear that?
My
dude?
Thumb in my butt. What's up? What are you laughing at?
All right, guys. Thanks so much for sticking around and listening. We'll talk to you guys next week with some Muppet stuff. Stay tuned, and if you enjoyed the show, please consider us leaving us an iTunes and Spotify review. It truly does help the show much more than you can imagine, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.
Cheers.